Thank you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the teaching of Dr. David Rogers, lead pastor of Arapahoe Road. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. And now, here's Pastor David Rogers.
Well, turn with me in your Bible, if you would, to Acts chapter 19. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one in the row in front of you. We're going to be on page 928. That's where Acts 19 is found in the Pew Bible there. If you don't have a Bible, come see me as soon as we're done. I'll give you one just like that one that you're reading out of today. We're going to wrap up our trek this morning through this chapter, Acts 19. It takes place in the city of Ephesus. And the title of my message this morning is One Direction and Quiet Riot. One Direction and Quiet Riot. Any music fans in here? And you're kind of going, hey, I've heard of those bands or one of those bands. Just out of curiosity, is there anybody in here who has heard of the band and maybe even listened to this band right here, One Direction? Anybody? 1D, I think is how they're known. Yeah. Okay, One Direction, a British-Irish boy band, pretty popular over the last 5 years or so. I think they've had some singles that have made it pretty big, some things like What Makes You Beautiful, Live While We're Young, Night Changes, and Story of My Life, to name a few. If you have never heard of them, let me introduce you to One Direction. Listen to this. Okay, there you go. A little One Direction. So now, anybody heard that one on the radio before? Yeah? You're kind of, oh, okay, that's one D. Yeah, 1D. Raise your hand if you've kind of heard that a little bit. Yeah? Now, here's where confession starts. Raise your hand if you've ever heard of Quiet Riot. Oh, look at there. Some of them are doing right. Yeah, Mike Pope, the next chairman of our deacons, is sitting on the front row down here going, yeah, rock and roll. As you may notice, Quiet Riot is not a British-Irish boy band that has been popular over the last 5 years. Quiet Riot was a big-haired 80s heavy metal band that was popular about 30 years ago with great songs like Metal Health and Come On, Feel the Noise. And you're wondering, is our pastor really good? Yes. Yes. So if you know it, feel free to sing along. Man, we could just keep going. Thank you, Greg Hodges, for bringing me a Quiet Riot Metal Health cassette for my birthday when I was a youngster. Appreciate you, Greg Hodges, wherever you are. Now, if American Airlines had a concert, American Airlines Center had a concert with these two bands being the co-headliners, One Direction, Quiet Riot, no doubt a large crowd would gather, but the music would go in opposite directions, and if all who attended that concert were required to stay and listen to everything, there most definitely would be a riot. And in Acts 19 this morning, I can assure you that none of the people had ever heard of or thought about One Direction or Quiet Riot. However, in our text today, what we're going to see is there is a large crowd that assembles, and there is a riot that takes place. And because what we'll see this morning, there are two primary voices in the story, and the crowd of people we'll see that begins to go in one direction. Just like that. Going in one direction. Suddenly, when somebody else starts to speak, they get quieted down. They get quieted down. And instead, they begin to go in another direction. And as we read our story this morning from Acts 19 and wrap this chapter up, I want you to notice how the influence of one voice can change the direction of a crowd. It's my sermon in a sentence. Can we just preach it together? The influence of one voice can change the direction of a crowd. See, when we left off in Acts 19, the Apostle Paul and his team had been preaching the gospel and the message of Jesus Christ and how he and he alone can save us from our sin and rescue us from sin, death, Satan, and hell, and can rescue people and restore people into a right relationship with God. And that's the only way that it's going to ever happen. And this message that Paul and his team were preaching was in the city of Ephesus and around that area that's located on the Mediterranean coast. And we read at the beginning of Acts 19 a couple of weeks ago how as Paul's preaching he tells them about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is just actively at work in the lives of the people there, and they begin to hear the message. They begin to believe in the message, put their faith, hope, and trust in Jesus, and receive the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And Paul just continues to preach this gospel of the kingdom all throughout that area. And then last week, raise your hand if you were here last week, just out of curiosity. Yeah, several of you. If you weren't, you can listen online. Get caught up at arapahoeroad.org. Just click on the sermons and you can stay tracking with where we're at. And last week we looked at how a man was possessed by a demon there in Ephesus. And this man possessed by a demon overpowers these seven sons of a man named Sceva. And this demon who overpowers these seven sons, we saw that he beat them up, he stripped them naked, and they ran out bleeding. And we walked away with that little nugget of truth that if you ever find yourself in a fight and you wind up without any pants on, you lost. You've lost that fight. Jack and I have talked about that regularly. That is one thing he will never, ever forget. But that wasn't the only thing we talked about, but that was something that stuck with him. And so we see that even through this activity with this demon-possessed man fighting these seven sons who were using the name of Jesus, they weren't followers of Jesus. They were just using his name. And the demon says through that man, I know Jesus and I know Paul, but I don't know who you are. And he just whips them, opens up a can on them, and they run out of that place. And it says in Acts 19, 17, and this became known to all the residents of Ephesus, both Jews and Greeks, and fear fell upon them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was extolled. That's huge. That means everybody was talking about Jesus. And so this crazy scene unfolds with this demon possession and a fight of these men who were using Jesus but not following Jesus. And yet the gospel continued to spread in powerful ways. And so this morning we pick back up in our story where we left off last week in verse 21. And Paul and his team had been faithfully sharing and living the gospel message of Jesus Christ in Ephesus for about 3 years. Now we're going to see between now and in a couple of weeks when we come back and finish up in chapter 20, Paul is getting ready to depart from Ephesus, okay? So let's pick back up in verse 21. We're going to read to the end of the chapter this morning. As we're reading the story, I want you to remember that sermon in a sentence. I want you to notice how, say it with me again, the influence of one voice can change the direction of a crowd. Let's start reading in verse 21. It says, now, after these events, Paul resolved in the Spirit to pass through Macedonia and Achaia, that's Greece, Achaia, and go to Jerusalem, saying, after I've been there, I must also see Rome. And having sent into Macedonia two of his helpers, Timothy and Erastus, he himself, Paul, stayed in Asia for a while. Verse 23, about that time there arose no little disturbance concerning the way. The way is how people in the first century referred to people who followed Jesus, the way. Why do they refer to it like that? Because what did Jesus say in John 14, 6? I am the and the truth and the life. And no man comes to the Father or woman or boy or girl. No transgender, no homosexual, heterosexual, bisexual, asexual. Doesn't matter who you are, you don't come to the Father except through Jesus. And so from the early days, they've been known as followers of the way. Verse 24. For a man named Demetrius, a silversmith who made silver shrines of Artemis brought no little business to the craftsmen. Let's hit the pause button here for a second, because we need to ask some questions of curiosity. We need to stay curious as we're reading the Scripture and studying the Scripture. And so if we're trying to understand what's going on here, we need to stop and ask two questions. What in the world are shrines to Artemis, and who in the world is Demetrius? Great questions. Let's take them in order there. Artemis was a goddess in that area around Ephesus who was worshipped by the masses. And there was big business that was attached to the worship of Artemis in Artemis's huge temple that they built up on the hill in Ephesus so that everybody could see the temple of Artemis. Her temple was known in the ancient world as one of the seven ancient wonders of the ancient world. Built high up on that hill, everybody could see it. Everybody in that region knew about the temple of Artemis. And probably what happened, according to historical scholars, is a meteor hit the earth in and around Ephesus, a big meteor. And when the people came out to see this meteor, they began to see, wow, it's kind of in the shape of the body of a woman with no clothes on, kind of curvy. And they begin to say, this must be from the hands of the gods. This must be a goddess. And because it looks like the body of a woman, maybe we should begin to worship it as such. And so this whole worship of temple prostitution, sexual practices in worship, all was tied in with the temple of Artemis. And so Artemis began to be held in high revere as this temple worship of this goddess who fell from the sky. Big business there. Big, big business. I mean, everybody in that region came and made a pilgrimage to Ephesus to worship. And when they would go to worship, the craftsmen began to see, well, we can sell little trinkets, little idols of Artemis, and we can make a profit from all the pilgrims who are coming here. And you're going, what? That sounds crazy. Don't people have better sense than to do something like that? Well, let me see if I can put it in modern day terms. Anybody in here been to Disney World? Disneyland? You make a pilgrimage, don't you? You go to Disney, they've got all kinds of ways that you can represent. This is just one of many. See, this one, you can get, it's got a little battery in there, and you can flip the switch, and when the parades come, it sinks in, and the ears light up with the different parade. Yeah, Sarah's sitting over here smiling, going, I spent so much money on those things. I know exactly what he's talking about. Yeah, so, I mean, this kind of represents, did you know there's big business at Disney besides just going to the land or the world? Yeah, you can walk out of there. If you didn't want this, you could get this. If you didn't want this, you could get one of these. Yeah, and I mean, we've got shirts and mugs and you name it. And man, we got to get this. I mean, it's got to get the mouse. You got to have the mouse, right? You've missed the experience if you didn't come back with a mouse. How many of you grew up watching Mickey Mouse? Come on now. Yeah, man, I did. Mouseketeers have big what? Ears, that's right. Kind of looking at some of your granddad in here going, you must be a mouseketeer. I always looked at my granddad. My granddad had the biggest ears in the world. Mouseketeer. I'm getting big ears. You know what I am? Mouseketeer. And man, I loved when I was a kid watching the Mickey Mouse show. Anybody ever watch that when they were growing up? Boom, 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 boom. Who's the leader of the pub that made for you and me? M-I-C-K-E-Y-M-O-U-S-C. Hey there, hi there, ho there. You're as welcome as can be. M-I-C-K-E-Y-M-O-U-S-C. Mickey Mouse. Mickey Mouse. Forever let us hold our banner high. Jump along and sing a song and join our jamboree. M-I-C-K-E-Y-M-O-U-S-C. And then they go, Hey, Mickey. Hey, Mickey. Hey, Mickey Mouse Club. It was awesome. And then for the next 25 minutes, we get to see all this cool stuff. And then at the end, all the Mouseketeers would come around, and they'd sing this really sad song. Now it's time to say goodbye to all our company. M-I-C. And he'd go, see you real soon. K-E-Y. Why? Because we like you. M-O-U-S-E. And Cubby would be sitting there waving at me. And I thought Annette Funicello was so hot. And when we went to Disneyland and Disney World as a kid, you know what I got? Got me one of these. Got me one of these. Because Mouseketeers have big... That's right. You don't leave Disneyland without something with the mouse on it. They've gotten so good at it that you can try to find the hidden Mickey Mouse ears. Awesome. Artemis and visiting the temple of Artemis was big business. And somebody started affecting the flow of people into the temple. And if somebody started messing with the market share of Artemis's little trinkets that were being built, somebody would begin to raise his or her voice. Remember what we've been saying. The influence of one voice can change the direction of a crowd. And I'm telling you, according to the scriptures, the gospel started affecting the people flow, the traffic patterns, what was happening in Ephesus, and who was going and what they were buying when they would go to Artemis's temple. The bottom line was getting affected. And what we just saw in verse 24 is a man named Demetrius didn't stay quiet. I want you to notice how he begins to raise his voice and begins to change the direction of a crowd for the worse. Look again with me. Now that we have some context in verse 24, we'll read through to verse 34. So let's look again. It says, for a man named Demetrius, a silversmith who made silver shrines of Artemis, brought no little business to the craftsmen. These he gathered together with the workmen in similar trades and said, men, you know that from the business we have our wealth. From this business we have our wealth. And you see and hear that not only in Ephesus, but in almost how much of Asia? All of Asia. This Paul has persuaded and turned away a great many people saying that gods made with hands are not gods. Did you know Mickey Mouse is not a god? Well, he is to some people. He's just now alive. Saying that gods made with hands are not gods. And there is danger, Demetrius says, not only that this trade of ours may come into dispute, but also that the temple of the great goddess Artemis may be counted as nothing, and that she may even be deposed from her magnificence. She whom all Asia and the world worship. You know how many people are worshiping Artemis today? Zero. How many people are worshiping Jesus today? A whole lot of zeros behind the number. But not at this time. She may be deposed from her magnificence. She, whom all Asia and the world worship. Verse 28. When they, all the people that were listening to Demetrius, when they heard this, they were enraged and were crying out, great is Artemis of the Ephesians. So the city was filled with confusion, and they rushed together into the theater, dragging with them Gaius and Aristarchus. They were Macedonians who were Paul's companions in travel. But when Paul wished to go in among the crowd, the disciples would not let them. Wouldn't let him. Even some of the Asiarchs. Who is that? Those are some of the city officials that Paul had befriended. The Asia Arks, not Christians, are sitting here going, whoa, we got a mob going on out here, who were friends of his sent to Paul and were urging him not to venture into the theater. Too crazy in there. Now some cried out one thing, some another, for the assembly was in confusion. Check this out. Most of them didn't even know why they'd come together. Some of the crowd prompted a man named Alexander. Alexander, whom the Jews, just like Paul, Paul was a Jew, whom the Jews had put forward. Alexander, motioning with his hand, wanted to make a defense to the crowd. But when they recognized that he was a Jew, for about 2 hours, they all cried out with one voice, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians! Great is Artemis of the Ephesians!" 2 hours. 2 hours. See, Demetrius raised his voice. Demetrius stirred up a crowd into a mob, and many of them didn't even know why they were getting upset. That's what the Bible says. They were getting so emotionally charged, they were just going with the flow of the crowd as the people were getting whipped into an emotional, angry, and chaotic frenzy, all because Demetrius influenced the direction of the people through his voice. In a very real sense, Demetrius got the crowd going in one direction. You're wondering how that was going to tie in. One direction. But we didn't have a quiet riot there in Ephesus. We began to have a loud riot there. It was all breaking out, all because of the influence of one man's voice. And he arose in his inflection, and he began to tell people, this is what's going on, and everybody started going in that direction. Then we get to verse 35. In verse 35, we're going to be introduced to a different character in the story, another individual. He's simply known as the town clerk. Town clerk was kind of like the mayor of Ephesus. Town clerk was not a follower of Jesus, as far as we know. But he does have some wise things to say. And he does raise his voice in such a way that it begins to influence the direction of this angry mob. Remember, what have we been saying? Say it with me again. The influence of one voice can change the direction of a crowd. Let's watch what happens here as we meet this town clerk in Ephesus, who enters this crazy scene where they're just going nuts for 2 hours. Great is Artemis of Ephesians! A-R-T-E-M-I-S-M-O-U-S-E! Had to change it up a little bit. You get bored after 2 hours just saying the same thing. I made that last part up about the M-O-U-S. That's not really what they're saying. Verse 35. And when the town clerk had quieted the crowd, he said, "Men of Ephesus, who is there who does not know that the city of the Ephesians is temple keeper of the great Artemis and of the sacred stone?" There's that meteor. "The sacred stone that fell from the sky. Seeing then that these things cannot be denied." And it couldn't, because everybody was coming. "Seeing then that these things can't be denied, you ought to be quiet. Don't do anything rash. For you have brought these men here who are neither sacrilegious nor blasphemers of our goddess. If therefore Demetrius and the craftsmen with him have a complaint against anyone, the courts are open and there are proconsuls. Let them bring charges against one another. But if you seek anything further, it shall be settled in the regular assembly. For we," check it out, "we really are in danger of being charged with rioting today, since there is no cause that we can give to justify this commotion." And when he had said these things, he dismissed the assembly. It's the word of the Lord. the influence of one voice, the town clerk, changed the whole direction of the crowd. With a quiet and rational voice, the town clerk calmed the crowd and gave them a new direction, and he began to quiet the riot. And the power of one lone voice prevailed, and the crowd slowly dispersed, and a terribly explosive situation was diffused. The town clerk knew that if the riot was not quieted, the one direction of the mob, if it wasn't changed quickly, Rome soon would come to the concert and burn the whole thing down. See, Rome didn't like riots. Rome liked quiet. Rome was like the dad on the long trip who didn't want to listen to anything on the radio but AM. This is before like headphones and all that good stuff, and the kids in the back seat are just going at it. Here's the line. He's over the line. Rome was like the dad that pulled the station wagon over, got everybody out, and just whipped booty right then. And that's what the town clerk is saying. Guys, let me quote Bob Newhart. Stop it! Or Rome's going to come and give us something to cry about. And they're going to slaughter us. And it's all going to be for nothing. See, the influence of one voice can change the direction of a crowd. Let me just ask you a couple of questions to think about this morning. Whose voice is influencing the direction of your life today? Is it the voice of someone who is stirring you up emotionally and chaotically like Demetrius? Or are you listening to the voice of someone who's steady and wise like the town clerk? Let me say it another way. Who is influencing the direction of your life that is steady, wise, and that calms you on the inside with their voice? Let me ask you, think about the voices that you're hearing come your way in a different manner. This would be great to talk through over lunch today or in your life group next hour. Who is your Demetrius and who is your town clerk? And when you begin to identify who is who, then I encourage you to begin to dial down the volume of the voice of that one or those whom you have identified as Demetrius, and begin to dial up the voice or the voices in your life of those who are like the town clerk. Why do I say that? Because your Demetrius is spewing folly and spewing gossip and creating a direction of havoc and emotional upheaval and an uproar that you don't need in your life. Proverbs 26 verse 11 says it like this: like a dog who returns to its vomit is a fool who returns to their folly. As you identify in your life who Demetrius is, Demetrius is spewing folly, and you're a fool if you keep going back and listening to that voice. Bad influence. Wrong direction. Identify who the town clerks are. Listen to them. You want a great, great, great proverb? Just look at Proverbs 15 this week. Write that down somewhere, Proverbs 15. You will begin to see how it talks about the different people who are speaking into our life. The people of folly and the people who are wise. The people who are fools and the people who are steady. Listen to what Proverbs 15:21 says. Folly is a joy to him who lacks sense, but a man of understanding walks straight ahead. Who are the men and women of understanding in your life that help you walk straight ahead in one direction? Listen to those people. They're never going to tell you anything that contradicts God's word. Listen to those people. If you listen to that voice, that direction, it leads to life. If you listen to the Demetriuses of your life, it leads to destruction and upheaval and chaos. You don't need it. Life's too short to let Demetrius set the direction of your life. You'll be rioting in your spirit and in your soul until you die. Stop it. Make a different choice. The influence of one voice can change the direction of a crowd. Now, we've been talking about who you've been listening to. Let me flip it around a second before we go and ask the question like this. How might God want to use your voice to influence and change the direction of a crowd? So it's not just about gimme, gimme, gimme good voices. God's going, I gave you a voice. I expect you to use it for good. How might God want you to do that? Is it a situation in your office? And you know it's just not right. And is God prompting you and empowering you with a humble yet bold spirit going, man, I've got to be the one voice to say what others are thinking and in a respectful and an appropriate way say, I'm sorry, that just doesn't seem right. I don't feel good about the way we're approaching this issue. Maybe it's not at the office. Maybe it's a team that you're on, and the team needs a voice of leadership. Maybe it's a place in your relationship that needs your voice. Maybe it's an issue in our society that needs your voice of influence. Maybe it's a conversation that's happening on social media or will be happening in the days to come on social media that needs your voice. Let me just say, be careful raising your voice on social media, because it's a totally different thing when you're looking at an online mob and you're looking at somebody eyeball to eyeball. People get real brave when they don't have to look at you face to face. Be wise as serpents, gentle as doves. That's what Jesus said. Hard to do both of those at the same time, but there's a way. There's a way. Man, the influence of one voice can change the direction of a crowd. That influential voice can be good or bad. In our story, Demetrius, it was bad. We know the names of other bad influences. Influential voices throughout history. People like, I mean, I can just say the last name. Hitler. Manson. Koresh. Bin Laden. And yet there are names of great individuals whose voice led in a great direction. People like Martin Luther King Jr., Rosa Parks, Winston Churchill, Gandhi. Strong voices. Wise voices. Steady voices. And you're going, man, I'll never be like them. Everybody knows their name. Nobody knows my name. You know what? Does anybody remember what the name of the town clerk was in Acts 19? Town clerk. You know what his Twitter handle probably would be? @townclerk. We don't even know who he was. They did, but we don't. Can I tell you? God wants to use everybody. If you think you're a nobody, you're listening to the wrong voice. You're somebody. God wants to use you to influence the direction of the crowds you run in. He does. And you may face some persecution because of the voice that you begin to speak. You know why I say that? So what? Big dang deal. If you're following Jesus, he said that's going to happen. Don't be surprised. He said, be faithful. He said, endure. He said, be steady. And don't go it alone. That's why we talk about being in community and on mission. Sometimes the influence of gospel-centered voices quickly get met with opposition. And you know what? That's true for gospel-centered effective churches too. John MacArthur, one of the biblical scholars that I just saturated myself in as I was reading and studying for this, MacArthur says effectiveness and persecution usually go hand in hand. Since an effective church is a bold church, and a bold church is often a church made strong through suffering. Persecution was arising in Ephesus, men and women, stemming from a pseudo-religious materialism. Hardened hearts, hypocrisy, and hatred energized the opposition toward the gospel. That's what was happening in Ephesus during the time of Paul, and his friends were on mission in that city. And I want you to hear what MacArthur goes on to say, because I was just like, wow, why was the gospel spreading so quickly in the midst of such opposition? MacArthur gives three reasons. I just want to share this with you, and then I'm going to pray, and then I want to share some really exciting things with you. MacArthur answers the question, what caused the success of the gospel in Ephesus? He says, first, the powerful presence and diligent, relentless labor of one man totally committed to Jesus Christ. That's part of why the gospel was going so fast. See, Paul was an example of the influence that one man can have in a city, a province, a state, a nation. MacArthur says the key to his influence was not charismatic personality. It wasn't a clever marketing strategy or a political influence. He says in his farewell speech, we'll get there in a couple of weeks in Acts 20, verses 27 and 31. In his farewell speech to the elders of the Ephesian church, here's what Paul reminded them. I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God. Night and day for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. See, Paul's influence flowed from a day in, day out consistency over a period of 3 years that stemmed from his devotion to the Lord and the Word of God. And made a powerful impact on the gospel being spread. Second factor, MacArthur says, of why the gospel was running rampant there. The second factor in the gospel's success, MacArthur says, was a purged church. He refers to Acts 19, 18 and 19, says that many also of those who had believed at Ephesus kept coming, confessing, and disclosing their practices, and many of those who practiced magic brought their books together, began burning them in the sight of all, and they counted up the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. A purging of the church. And because of the purging, the church was clean. And it goes on to say in Acts 19, 20, and the word of the Lord was growing mightily and prevailing. When about a man, it was about the word of God and the God of the word. And then he gives a third reason. The third reason for the success of the gospel was the church's use of proper spiritual means. What he means by that is that the Ephesian believers didn't gather in the city town, the town square, and start lobbying authorities, picketing the silversmith shops, organizing demonstrations against Artemis worship. He said they didn't try to be popular. Here's what they did. They preached, they lived out the message, and they let the power of their changed lives confront and push out the old ways. That's what MacArthur says are the three reasons why the gospel ran rampant all over Asia. May we be a church who never ceases to preach and live out the message of the Word of God and the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. May we be a people who let the power of our changed lives confront and push out the old ways that need to go, whatever that looks like in our context. And may we be a people who have the discernment to recognize and identify the voice of Demetrius and the voice of the town clerk. because both voices can have influence in our lives and in the direction of the crowd. And may we be a people who live and speak with boldness coupled with appropriate humility about that which are right, good, and gospel-centered. Remember, say it with me. The influence of one voice can change the direction of a crowd. Let's pray. Jesus, would you speak to us? Would you empower us by your Holy Spirit and guide us through your word, that we may be a people of the way, following you, which was the command you gave your early disciples. Follow me. The disciples were free to ask questions. We don't know the way to where you're going. And you just responded, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. May we be a people who are in community with you and with others who are trying to follow you. And may we be a people who are on mission, listening to the voice of the wise, steady, and calm that are in sync with what your scripture says. And if we've not yet put our faith, hope, and trust in you, may we do that today by simply saying, Lord, I admit you are the Savior. I am the sinner. I believe in everything that your word says that you are. And I call on your name to be my Lord, to rescue me from sin, death, Satan, and hell, that I might have a different direction in life that leads to you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our church website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning services at 9:30 a.m. Feel free to join us this week.